Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, I'm Paco Romain.
I'm George Chen.
And this is SupDoc, where we've been covering documentaries since 2015. 5 years, with guests from the worlds of comedy, film, and television.
Yeah, on this episode, we watched Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich, a four-part Netflix docuseries directed by Lisa Bryant. Based on James Patterson's 2016 book, Filthy Rich takes a look at the stories of Epstein's abuse survivors. So let this be a massive trigger warning for the whole show. There's a lot of stuff in here that is uncomfortable to discuss.
Our guest is Haley Hoffmeister, an actor and comic from Eugene, Oregon, currently living in Los Angeles. She can be seen on Amazon Prime's My First Comedy Special. She also has a very funny TEDx talk entitled Being a Woman is Not That Hard.
And now here's Haley.
We are here with our guest, Haley Hoffmeister. Hi, Haley.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for joining us.
Of course, happy to be here.
This is going to be interesting, this talk, because of the horrific details that we're about to discuss.
Yeah, trigger warning for everyone.
I think it's going to be actually your funniest episode.
It could be. If it wasn't,
it'd be hilarious.
The Michael Jackson doc might have been our most hilarious, but this
I'm
one's
sure.
gonna might be a close second.
Right?
Thank you for joining us. We wanted to get a good guest, and I know you, and I watch your Twitter feed, and then one day I saw you write about this doc and about Epstein, and you seemed very mad, and I was like, perfect.
I love it. Perfect. That's
who we need on this. So, yeah.
Of all the emotions, that one could have about this, I think anger seems
right.
like accurate. Yeah.
Okay, let's just go through some of them. Anger, I was confused a few times. I was
sure.
angry. I was sad. I don't cry. Listen, guys, you know me. I'm a Viking. I'm a lumberjack of a guy. I'm the toughest steak on the block. And
absolutely.
I literally wept. I couldn't watch the end of the third episode. I watched this twice, so each episode twice. And at the end of the third episode, I just was like, I had to turn it off. I was like, oh boy, that's just too much. It was all too much. But especially because it was like the Australian girl with the red hair, and she's on like the island and shit. And I was just like, oh,
yes, when she's trying to swim away. Ugh.
Yeah.
That part was like gut-wrenching for me as well when she talked about trying to leave and that she was being watched everywhere. I don't know why that was such a trigger, but like the fact that she was being watched everywhere.
Yeah, and just like on this fucking remote ass island, like who?
Right.
What the fuck? Like that's just stuff of nightmares. It's like you're taken to a remote island and then raped. I mean, that's just not good. That's just not good. So fuck Jeff Epstein. How about that? Let's just start
absolutely.
With this.
Let's start at the beginning. My first inclination that he was the worst is the part when he wouldn't buy the girl's art for full price. What was her name? Annie's sister, Marie, was it?
Yeah, Farmer.
I'm trying to remember. Farmer, yeah. Marie Farmer. She was supposed to sell it for like $12,000, and he had to get a deal.
Yeah, horrible. And I think the
art
dealer
had to get it half
like,
off.
Yeah, the art dealer's like, they're not going to pay full price.
Yes, right there, you're like, if he'd done nothing else, I'd just be like, you're trash.
Well, have you ever known like super rich people? Like super rich like that?
Right.
They don't ever pay full price for anything.
Right. Yeah. They go around saying, how much for cash?
Yeah. Yeah. And they, I mean, he's also just paying these girls $200 as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which, right. Right.
Which seemed criminally low.
It did, but I also feel like it was super, everything was so intentional. The amount, if he paid them more, they'd maybe think like, oh, this is enough. I don't need to come back. It was like just enough that felt like a lot, but kept bringing them back.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I've done a lot for $200. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially if you're a young girl, that sounds like he made sure it would sound like a lot of money to them, but not enough that they would think like, if he paid them more, they'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm doing something so crazy if I'm making $2,000. But when you're making $200, maybe you're like, maybe I am just doing a weird massage or something.
Fuck. That is deep. Right? I never thought about that. Cause I immediately was just like $200. Like,
Right.
That just seems so low. It's like, who would go back for 200? I mean, after dealing with all the stuff you have to deal with and $200, you know, like I won't even.
Right.
I don't even know if I'd leave my front door for $200, but that's me.
Right.
I'm a young girl.
Exactly. But if I put myself in that at that age, right. $200 would have seemed like a ton of money, especially and he targeted girls that didn't have money and that came from messed up families. And, you know, it was so intentional.
Yeah.
The victims and the amount of money and the way to get them back and having them bring friends. So intentional. So that then they felt like a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, they had some odd ownership, I guess, in something like that. But let's go ahead, please.
Oh, and just, I mean, how that would mess with your psyche to not have to do the acts yourself, but you're getting another girl to do it. And you're getting money for getting that other girl. But of course they wouldn't want to do it themselves. And yet they'd have like the shame and the guilt. It's so intentional. That shame, guilt spiral would keep you in it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like everything's gonna sound flippant now, but it's kind of like if you know, like ice cream, or you know, like you eat too much ice cream, you're like, fuck, I can't do that again, but I'm going to tomorrow. I'm just gonna have
absolutely
another giant bowl of the shame spiral of eating too much ice cream.
Haley, since I don't follow you on Twitter, what are some examples of some things that you said on Twitter about this? Or Facebook or wherever you posted.
I know I posted about Prince Andrew when he was talking about how he hadn't met. Forgive me, I can't remember everybody's names. That's there are fine. So many names.
Yeah, Prince is a pretty memorable name.
Prince Andrew, I know that, but the girl that the blonde girl.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's Virginia.
Had the picture.
Yeah, Virginia. She's kind of like a key figure in this whole thing. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I should remember her name. Virginia has that picture with him, and then when he says that he didn't remember, or that the first time she says they met, he was at a Pizza Express, and I was like, that's just right. That's everything.
Yeah, so, with his daughter. Yeah. And he, of course, he had to throw in his daughter in that he was at a Pizza Express with his daughter.
Is that like a British version of like a Pizza Hut? I don't know. Pizza Express. Is that like, it's like,
I don't know.
It must be some chain.
I don't either. I just felt like it sounded lame. And the fact that right before that, they talked about how he'd mentioned, was it to Virginia or one of the other girls, he'd mentioned, oh, you're the same age as my daughter. You're around the same age. Like she said he actually mentioned that. Like how freaking creepy. Because don't you always think, I always think, how do these guys do that? And then they have their own daughter and not put that together and not think it's like, I don't know.
There's not a connection there because one's complete control and, you know, hatred of women, I guess. I'm not a psychiatrist, but like, and then the other one's like your offspring, someone that you love and want to take care of and don't want to like ultimately sexually control, like you're hoping, you know. But
yeah, I mean, you hope.
Yeah. This is apparently something that had been going on, how do I put this? This is something that's been, was kind of widely rumored for years about him in Britain. And maybe in the United States as well, but like,
That's all I know about him, honestly. I'm like, which guy is he Prince Charles's brother? And then he's the one that's married to Ferguson? Is that him? I don't even know who. Yeah, okay.
That is he, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, now all I know about Prince Andrew is literally this accusation. That's pretty much all.
Of course. Well, he's been, like, plagued by... That's, like, what everybody knows about him is just his rumors about scandal.
Yeah, that he likes...
girls, young girls.
Very young girls. And there is a delightful and juicy conspiracy theory that Princess Di was going to blow the lid off of it. That she had finally gotten out under the thumb and the auspices of the monarchy and was going to disclose information that she knew. And then she died.
That's
pretty tricky stuff, man. So let's take this out for a little bit. Let's expand this out. How much, Haley, did you know about Epstein before 2019?
Honestly, I didn't know much of anything about him before 2019.
Yeah.
Not being a New York socialite.
Right. Or a West Palm Beach socialite.
Right, or high schooler.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, that's kind of why I'm asking. George, did you know anything about Epstein?
No, but like didn't the book, The Filthy Rich, that this is based on, did that come out in 2016 or 2017? Like I think I remember 17. Hearing was, yeah, probably around the time of the arrest. I think I didn't know anything about this before that. I didn't know there was like a Vanity Fair piece or anything like that.
No, me neither. And I just remember when Trump won, and then right after that, people were putting up pictures of him and Epstein being like, look at who, and I was like, oh, who the fuck is that guy? Like, I don't even know who that guy is. And then there's that, like, that video where Trump is siding up next to Epstein.
Is it Mar-a-Lago? You know,
like, pointing out.
Yeah. Epstein at Mar-a-Lago or something like that. They're at a party somewhere. Yeah, together. Yeah.
I don't know where they are, but.
Trump is such a good dancer.
He's so good at
dancing. No one gives him credit for the thing that he's actually nailing, which is body language, body posture, the way he holds a Bible. All that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like really, really.
Just his body undersold. In general.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Did you see, I posted this meme of him and his sons and his daughter standing, and it was said the first day of standing school. And it's so funny because they don't know how to stand. They look like a senator without the rest of the horse body. They're all kind of like.
Yes.
Got their chests out, and it's so weird. And
that's a real conspiracy. Where is the rest of that centaur? That's what I would say.
Exactly.
Like, there's a horse torso laying in a field somewhere. That's the bottom of Trump.
Yeah. I hadn't heard of him prior to this kind of stuff. So it was very interesting. I've done some deep dives, and I just read that Vanity Fair article, and it's just so gross when you know, looking back. And do you guys buy the Graydon Carter explanation for not running it?
No.
The editor? Yeah.
They're going to ask if I bought Vanity Fair. I'm like, not in a very long time. I've not bought a Vanity Fair.
I used to have a subscription to it. I used to love Vanity Fair, but I don't like, I mean, but he's basically like, we were about to go to press and we couldn't run the story because we couldn't get verifications and shit. It's like, maybe you then hold back the story. You know, put in another fucking 15-page perfume ad that they always have in those magazines and hold back and then get some verified remarks if that's what you're after. What do you guys think?
Yes, I worked in the fashion industry for like a high fashion denim brand that was like in all those magazines. And I saw, like, I couldn't even, when I quit, I couldn't even look at like the magazines anymore because I saw like the underbelly and it's gross. It's so gross. Like it's
like what?
I mean, and it's not, it's racist. It's like every model I would try to hire. I mean, she's too ethnic. And I loved it when like a girl that I would try to hire that, was gorgeous, but like half Hispanic or something, then would blow up after we couldn't use her because she was too ethnic. And then she'd become like the biggest model ever. And I'd be like, even to the point of if anybody was going to see me, I have like wavy curly hair. I mean, someone had to come in to straighten it before anybody could see me. And I'm like a white girl. So imagine, yeah, what? Like, yes. I mean, speaking of documentaries, the documentary Good Hair by Chris Rock, must watch.
Oh, yeah, love that it. Is a good it's, doc.
Yes, but yes, just everything. So
you were like a handler? You took models to the photography sessions or?
I produced some of the sessions and then for the brand, but then I would also like write articles that were in like Forbes and W and different things, but not, I wouldn't get any like credit for that because it would be like for my boss. But so I'd get to see like how all that stuff works. And it's always, it's so fear-based. It's like, they're so scared of ever doing something that's not cool and not okay yet. They yeah. only want to do anything that's not like, that's already proven. So I'm 100%, they're not going to want to say anything bad about the guy unless everybody's already saying it.
Right.
Ever. Yeah.
And where was this at? I mean, not the company. You don't have to say the company, but what city were you?
Los Angeles.
Oh, you're in LA when you're doing it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I can only imagine the LA scene of beauty and glamour. I mean, I've never dipped my toe into that scene. I can only imagine the shallowness. How long did you work in that?
For 2 years.
A couple years.
And then I was like, I just have to pick up my soul and like walk away. Like it was so, just so many stories. But yeah, there were so many things that was just like, it's so gross.
Yeah. It's like you have to shower every time you come home.
Just, right.
Ugh. I had a roommate that dated a high fashion photographer guy, Tim. And he did like Maxim shoots and Sports Illustrated. He did like lots of bikini stuff. And I hated him so much. He would come he'd come over to our apartment because my roommate was gorgeous. And she's like, isn't he fun? Isn't he cool? I'm just like, ugh. I just don't even want him in the house. Like,
it's right.
like that douchebag dude bro thing.
Yes.
Oh, gross. You
know? You're like, if by fun you mean the worst, it's so fun.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I've never met anyone as rich as these fools. I mean, I've met some rich people, like, you know, got some millions and shit, but nobody like on the level of like this kind of prestige that has this many connections. Were you guys at all shocked by like the fact that he kept getting away with it? Or how do you guys feel about that?
I was not shocked.
Yeah.
No. I felt like that part when they said that he violated his parole 66 times, or that they knew of. And every time they talked to the parole, or that it was the detective, he said every time he talked to the parole officer, they'd be like, what do you want us to do? He's a celebrity.
So gross. I know.
Right?
Did you guys feel like you could just take Jeff Epstein out and put in Trump and it's kind of the same story?
Yes.
In a sense, you're right.
Well, he came from a humbler background than Trump, I guess. I mean, that's the one thing he did really like con his way up the corporate ladder somehow, which I kind of wanted more of that information. Like, I kind of thought for 4 hours there would be more stuff about, yeah, where did the money come from? And more stuff about, like, yeah, who killed this dude? I thought there was going to be a lot more of that for over the course of 4 hours. But yeah, the Ponzi scheme was given like 5 minutes. I'm like, can you dig more into the Ponzi scheme, please? Like, that's Steven Hoffenberg. I'm like, he did crimes with me. We did crimes together. And I didn't testify against him. And like, there's a whole hour on this. What are you guys doing?
Go ahead, Haley.
It could have been longer for sure. And I would have liked an episode like talking about his childhood. And yeah, I wanted backstory.
Dude, of course. Like, there are so many holes in this documentary series, but especially like, what fucked this dude up? What happened to Jeff Epstein that like screwed him up this badly? I mean, how many days, how many times a day was he having sex and just masturbating, like on a daily basis for like years or something?
Right.
Like, what psychological problem do you have where you're just like, I just need another rub down. This is only number four of the day.
Well, that's, you know, my question is, like, what came first, the money or the obsession, right? Like, is it just like, oh, well, I have so much money, what would I like to do? Just like, you know, or was it like always a thing that he was doing when he worked at a school? I'm like, how did this guy end up working at a fucking school? Like right out of dropping out of college, he's working at a private school. I'm sure he just conned his way into that stuff as well.
Yeah, they said he lied on his resume because he wouldn't have gotten that job.
And he didn't get fired because he was dating the boss's daughter. Like, somehow he still manages to date someone while molesting a bunch of other people.
Who are these people that can do that shit? Yeah, at least when his boss came to Ace Greenberg, the famous investor dude, he was like, well, treat him like any other employee, you know, which I don't know what that means. Maybe that means like keep him on the payroll. We don't want this getting out. But like, I don't know how people like that can infiltrate and take over families and people like that. That is so phenomenally interesting and bizarre to me. Like, I don't quite, but I really felt like this documentary series swung in a miss on like the early life of Epstein. It's like, so we know he's a New Yorker. I guess he was brilliant. And then he lied a little bit. And then he is a billionaire. And then he just raped hundreds of underage girls.
Right. Like, and I felt like there was part, I wanted to see more, and maybe he was a super quiet guy or something, but I felt like I wanted to see more stuff where we saw him actually talking, and the part where they showed him just in the interview, like how the first episode started, I wanted more of that.
Yeah, because absolutely.
Everything with him, you know, talking about him, it's so like shrouded in mystery.
He was known as this Gatsby-like figure of mystery.
He was stunningly rich. He had a $20 million house, his own private island in the Caribbean.
He has a nickname, the Pedophile Island.
In 2005, the Palm Beach Police Department received reports of young women going to and from his residence.
There was an ever-revolving door of girls.
Who else was underage?
All of them. Those girls brought other girls, too.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app. Or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS, or play online via Facebook Games.
Have you guys ever been in a deposition? Have you ever had to sit in a deposition for anything?
No.
I have not.
Have you ever been on a trial or in a trial? Have you ever been a defendant?
No.
I haven't even done jury duty. I've been like an alternate for jury duty.
You've never sat on a jury?
Not fully. I was like up to like, I think it was like one of the alternates, and then I got off. Luckily, they just asked me some questions. I got out of it. Yeah.
Haley, have you ever been on a jury?
No, and I want to. I actually really want to. I think it's amazing. Yes. I think it's interesting.
I've been on like four. They find me all the fucking time. Like, I get that stuff all the time, and then I go, and I'm like, oh, there's 800 people here. There's no way I'm going to get called. And they're like, juror 622. I'm like, how?
How right?
Does this happen?
You get like 12 bucks an hour, like, or something? 12 bucks a day? Something like that?
Something,
10, 15
something like that.
Day.
They'll pay for your lunch. I think in San Francisco, it's 7 or 10, and they pay for parking or something ridiculous. Yeah, wow. I've sat on a few, unfortunately. I mean, not unfortunately. It's
better than an open mic then.
I got to be Jerry Foreman, so I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, I got the, and then I ended up dating the girl on my jury. So
what?
Anyhow,
you're burying all the leads and all of these.
I thought for sure she liked me. I'm like, I feel like she's hitting on me. And then she's like, you want to walk with me after this? And I was like, yeah. And then we ended up dating for a while. She's a vice president at Apple. Should have married her.
That's why you do jury duty four times, right? You just thought every time you're going to like, this will be the one. I'm going to hit jackpot finally.
If there was a jury dating app, what would it be called?
I
12 Angry Suitors. I don't know.
Order. I don't know. All right. Anyways, that's our improv moment of this.
Oh my gosh, I did so great at that. Sorry, next time you get jury duty, will you just hand it off to me? Be like, she really, this is for her.
She doesn't live
She really
here.
Wants to do this. Right.
Ms. Romaine. Yeah.
I've always thought that there should be professional jurors. I kind of feel like there should be people who go to like a 2-year school and they kind of know the law and they kind of enter it. They're retired or they have their days off and it's a big pool. You get a big pool of people and you take from professional jurors, people who know what they're doing, not falling asleep, not confused by like DNA examinations and, you know, that kind of stuff. But that's just me and I'm crazy. So... Vicky Ward, Vicky Ward wrote the Vanity Fair piece. And then she was just like, you know, hey, this was supposed to be a socialite, a fun socialite, like expose. Like, who is this guy? What makes him tick? You know, and then people are like, I'll tell you what makes him tick. And she's like, oh, fuck. Was there anyone that really stood out for you guys in this? Anyone that you were just like, there's a lot of heart going out to a lot of the girls, but is there one that you were just like, really, just like, my heart really goes out to her?
I think, gosh, yeah. I think the girl that saw her 8-year-old brother be like beaten to death in front of her, that one was pretty hard to watch.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Good. Yes. That is a tough one for sure. George,
I was thinking the girl with braces who just, you know, broke down on camera. Just like there was a before and an after, she just that was really rough. Just seeing all the footage of her as a kid and just imagining like that's the kid, that was the kid at the time. You know,
right?
So bonkers.
Right.
It is pretty wild to see them now, you know, and then seeing them as kids, and you're just like, you know, what a path they've had to lead from being so young. I mean, it's just way too young. For me, it was the sister that got her other sister involved.
Oh, yeah. The farmers. Yeah. That was rough.
Yes.
And also, the way that she described it was like, it sounds like it was like Jelaine and Jeffrey were robotically rubbing her. I'm like, what the fuck? It's not. It's just a power thing. It's completely a power thing, right? Because they can't even be like, actually enjoying it. It's so fucking weird.
And I also thought the fact that they asked Maria like, hey, do you have any siblings, tell me about your family, as if they're like innocently interested in her,
right?
Which is just like, any little sisters? Like, that's really all that question was. Because also there was another girl whose little sister who pulled her little sister in. What was that girl's name?
I don't remember either, but
yeah, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, that is episode 3, and she went to Spain. Her little sister went to Spain. They're going to be a teacher. Yeah,
absolutely. And maybe we should just point out right now that the fact that we can't remember all their names just shows like the sheer volume of victims.
Yeah, they were thinking 400 plus at one point.
That board where they kind of explain the whole sexual Ponzi scheme. I'm like, is this like McMillions? Yes. And it's also Florida. It was just like, I was brought back to this whole Florida true crime world out of that. It's like so disturbing. They're like, well, actually, we can't show you what's under these sticky notes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Why not get prostitutes? I don't understand the like recruitment of young girls. I mean, I guess that's the whole thing then, isn't it? Like what I'm thinking is like, why not? He's paying them. Why not just get a prostitute?
Right.
Is that not the same thing?
It's the destroying like it people has to. Yeah.
I feel like maybe you're not a pedophile, so you just can't get in the mindset, Paco.
Thank you. Let that be noted. Let the court notes be noted. Thank you so much. Absolutely. Thank you. I don't quite get that, but I'm also the kind of guy that watched that Dateline NBC show where they catch guys.
Oh, to Catch a Predator,
To Catch a Predator. You guys remember that show?
I never watched it, but people reference it all the time, yeah.
I want to be one of those girls.
Cops? Like one of the cops that look young?
Uh-huh,
like,
undercover.
Hey, I made some apple juice. I'll be right back.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
It's like, I'm Carl Hansen. What are you doing here? Like, what I never understood is like, you just drove 400 miles to have sex, apparently, with a 13-year-old. Couldn't you have just jacked off at some point in those 400 miles and then turned around? Like what?
Yeah.
Like what's the fucking point? I don't get it. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't get it. I don't understand. Like with this dude Epstein, it's like after he got caught the first fucking time.
Yes.
Just be like, okay, nothing really happened. Like good to go. I got my half a bill. I got my 8 properties.
Right.
I got fucking Galan Maxwell. She's pretty hot. You know?
Absolutely. Right.
Shack up with the old Maxwell. And like, right. I'm in my 50s. Let's just call it good. But like, what the fuck? What is that? I don't understand compulsion.
Well, I was thinking him and Weinstein are very, like, the pictures of him and Weinstein. I'm like, it's the same. Right. Everyone who's been kind of like unmasked by Me Too, it's like they have these layers of, in his case, it's a layer of like, just like money. But in the case of like Weinstein, it's also just like, he was preying on people in his industry, right? He was preying on actresses because he had power over them. Cosby would also like kind of try to find people that were like trying to get into the entertainment world. I did not watch the R. Kelly one. I feel like I saw Leaving Neverland. I'm like, do I need to watch the R. Kelly one now that I've also seen this just to complete all of my feelings about this stuff? Yeah, but... Yeah, I don't know. Also, like, isn't this like the real Pizzagate? That's the part that I was confused by. Like, when everyone's talking about Pizzagate initially, it was like, okay, well, this seems crazy. And then this happened. I'm like, oh, I guess there are just like rich pedophile network rings. Like, that seems like that's real. But it wasn't, it just was, they were just off by a little bit. They're like, there was like the Q version, and then there was like, why aren't more people looking at what happened here? Like, this is where the real, and not to go completely tinfoil hat on you guys, but I'm like, right? Like, am I wrong about this? Isn't that like the Venn diagram between like, you believe there's pedophiles and you believe in Pizzagate, and then you see this? I guess you just think it's only Clinton and not Trump, or you think Trump was doing some undercover work or something, right? Am I going off the deep end with you on this Pizzagate stuff?
No, that's funny you said the thing that you mentioned Clinton, though. Like, when they said that there were flight logs that he went to the island 26 times?
Yeah,
I think it was 26, and something like that. And the fact that he would say, like, no, I've never been to the island. Like, why?
Yeah.
He learned nothing from Jeffrey in his, I'm going to.
So many people like are associated with Epstein, but like it's kind of unclear like what that means, right? Like a comedian that we, I don't know if we personally know, but a San Francisco comedian.
I featured for him.
Yeah, like is on that list and he has like an explanation for it. And also like people, a lot of people.
But I'm just saying if there's pictures and you're on the log, how do you not think it makes you look more guilty to be like, deny. I never went. Mm-hmm. Like, wouldn't you just say I went, I didn't do anything? Because, I mean, even it was, I believe Virginia said, I saw people that came and I never saw them with any girls. Like, she even kind of gave that out.
Yeah.
Where she said there were people that came that I never saw do something. But why wouldn't you just admit that you came?
Mm-hmm.
You look more guilty. And then, okay, I'm sorry, but Woody Allen, when he's hanging out with him right after he gets out of his 13-year, and I'm putting jail sentence in quotes, but when, or 13 month jail sentence. Why would Woody Allen be like, oh, that's the guy I should hang out with. That looks good.
Because they're cloaked. They're cloaked by richness and power and prestige and fame. And maybe they just don't give a fuck. I don't know. Maybe that's what separates them from real fucking people. Maybe they just don't fucking care, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
but here's my thing is it bigger than this is that there are people I went to this writing workshop with Pete Holmes and he like said his joke about like, you know, I'm just really thankful that I'm not attracted to children. And I love that. Like, cause it's like, yeah, we're all freaking thankful we're not attracted to children because people are attracted to children. They are. There are people. And the thing is that it's, as a society, like not holding those people to any kind of accountability. That's like, to me, the bigger, it's like the Catholic Church moving a priest to another parish and just letting him molest another little boy. Like it's the accountability and the people around you that are just going to let this happen too, because there are people that are attracted to, I mean, we can't change that, but we can absolutely be like, we're going to make sure that it doesn't keep happening.
Yes. Amen to that. I would add to that, that for too long, it was the creepy guy at the end of the street that, you know, had a weird tricycle or whatever.
Right.
And then you have people of power and prestige and wealth that just fucking get away with it. You know,
right.
it's we've got to shift our minds to that. There are people in places of power that do this shit too, you know, and that also can't stand, you know, like that can't happen. And what happened with Epstein, with Alex Acosta, thank God cost him his fucking job as Secretary of Labor. Yeah. Can you believe it?
Yes.
That dude got all the way to fucking Secretary of Labor.
Right.
What a piece of shit, man. Like, for people who are listening to this that aren't, don't remember or haven't quite gotten to this part of this documentary, Alex Acosta was the prosecuting attorney of Dade County or what, Florida, wherever county. And I guess had some secret negotiations with Epstein and his lawyers because he got off on a sweetheart fucking deal, man.
Right.
Like what pissed you off the most about this part?
The part, him being able to leave every day between 8 and 8.
Fuck. Yeah.
8.
Yeah. That part.
Somebody who is a child molester is allowed to just walk free all day. What?
Insane. Insane. That's prime molesting hours right there too. 8 to 8.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah. That seems like a good idea, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Just let him out.
Right.
During the day, and his Hilton-esque, like apparently his cell door was left open, and you know, he could just leave. And they say that like that detective was like, yeah, we followed him until he'd get on his helicopter or his private jet, you know, and just go somewhere. I don't know. For me, what pissed me off the most was the co-conspirator, it was not just Epstein that got off. They also made it so that any co-conspirators, known or fucking unknown.
Yes.
Could
known
not
or unknown.
Fucking known.
Yes.
Disgusting. What the fuck is that? That has nothing to do with Epstein's case. That is unknown future co-conspirators also get off. That makes no fucking sense to me, man.
Right.
God damn it. That's just, I don't, it's like what happens when that shit gets bandied about? Are they just drinking and smoking some cigars and be like, you know what else would be cool?
Right.
There might be some other people you don't know about. I don't think they should get in trouble either.
Well, this is like Dershowitz. Absolutely. Dershowitz suggested these lawyers to him in Florida, right? Because he's like, I'm not allowed to practice in Florida, but I know some scumbags. That's basically the Alan Dershowitz way.
Yeah. Well, now he says that he got him a massage. He's since been more truthful and said he got a massage, but he never took his underwear off. That's what Alan Dershowitz says to this day now, is that he was with Epstein and he did get a massage, but he never took his underwear off. So it's all good.
His teeth. Remember his teeth? I mean, not to be so shallow, brown. but they're...
Fuck these people. Let's be shallow. Fuck that.
Okay.
It'd be like massaging a clam. Massaging like a sweaty clam, putting your hands on that man's body would just... Ugh.
With brown teeth.
with that rose brush. I'd have to COVID wash so hard after.
But it was only his bottom teeth, wasn't it? Like, that was almost, like, worse. It was like, why are like half Giuliani your teeth one style, color yeah. and half your teeth another?
Right. I don't know. Is that just chewing tobacco? Or is that...
Maybe.
Is that like a full... I don't know what that is. I don't know, but... He's so fucking gross. I hate Alan Dershowitz, man.
He's so gross.
Why did he even do the interview is the other big question. It's like he was like the only person who's just like, yeah, I'll just do the interview like from this side of the angle, you know, like because no one else who is like implicated in anything was like willing to speak on camera at all. He really had the confidence. Because he's- yeah.
Yeah, I think he seemed super confident. Like I think these people are getting off on the power.
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They're getting off.
It's gotta be like you said, okay, for your example of like, why wouldn't you just, and to catch a predator, you're driving, you're like, right. Why wouldn't you just masturbate? Like that has to be, it's the power, right? That has to be it because there's no like, other reason you would drive that far for
right.
Yeah,
it's, well I guess my thinking was like the compulsion is so strong that you know right. there is a huge risk and think of right. the implications once you are arrested of mm-hmm. being a fucking child predator mm-hmm. what that's going to do to you and your family and everything, and they still just do it. It's crazy.
This case would put him in prison the rest of his life.
Have you ever solicited a minor for prostitution?
I'm going to invoke my Fifth Amendment right.
Somehow, his lawyers had worked out a deal with the U.S. Attorney's Office.
It was more evidence of the fact he was powerful and he could fix whatever thing came up.
This case was one of the worst failures of the criminal justice system.
There was no way that anybody could look at this and think this was okay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're just trying to remember if Alan Dershowitz ever had any redeeming qualities ever.
Yeah, I would guess probably not.
No, I mean, I think there was a time like Giuliani when people were kind of considered him
right.
to be a forthright dude. Like I remember because I've always been a fan of lawyers. I've always loved law and stuff. And Alan right. Dershowitz was a name that you always heard, like the Alan Dershowitz. He's going to chime in. And you're like, ooh, what's he going right. to say? But now it's just like, oh, I hope you fucking rot on the garbage pile of assholes that you belong on.
He's like Giuliani. He's just like Giuliani then. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the Giuliani of lawyers. Did you guys see that spat that Giuliani had on the TV show with the, what's his name? Pierce Morgan?
Oh, no, I didn't see
you guys,
that.
You guys should... It was, I think it came out, I saw it this morning, but I think it was from yesterday. They just basically are just going after each other. Like Pierce Morgan's like, you used to be respectful. Now you're just like a piece of shit. And Giuliani's like, oh yeah, well you have low ratings. You know, like that's, I love that's the Trump like and Giuliani argument. It's like, your ratings are low. It's like, ugh,
yes,
you're such a little bitch. Shut up. I hate these people so much, man. And then there's just this Epstein thing. It's just like, he's like that kind of guy that would like not tip waitstaff probably, you know, and like right. be all nice to you until like your charming friend leaves and he's just like, do you always dress like that? Or some shitty, you know, some shitty remark, you know,
Yeah, where's his charisma? They talk about his charisma, and I don't get it. Like, this is, like, all the time people talk about, like, with serial killers, too. Like, he's so charismatic. I'm like, really? And not in any footage of anything I've seen.
Right. Well, that's the thing is we didn't get a lot of footage, and I think that's why it would have been helpful if they had shown more of him, his life when he was younger. If we did get to see, like, a little peek into the charisma, because I bet he was charismatic. And I do think that there's, you know, I think a lot of these people that get away with a lot of stuff and lie and cheat their way to the top probably are totally charismatic. Yeah. I think we could have definitely used a little bit more backstory. So we would have actually like seen that whole, that's why I think we liked seeing the depositions, because it was pretty much the only time we actually got to see him speak.
Right. Yeah. And you kind of got a little taste of like who this guy is, especially with that smarmy smile he'd have sometimes where they're like, is your dick shaped like a watermelon? You know, like he'd be like, you know,
that
whatever. I know.
That was maybe like the best part.
I know. It was awesome. That lawyer, man, he wasn't fucking around. I like it. You know, they said that they hired like psychiatrists to like see what would rattle him, you know?
Right. It was genius.
Yeah. I guess apparently at the end, I saw someone took a screenshot of the end of this doc and the artist, Maria Farmer.
Oh, yeah.
There's like...
I think Beth Lissick took that screenshot, right?
Oh, yeah. It was Beth Lissick. Yeah. It says like egg dick and...
Mushroom
dick, like the two, the Trump and Epstein descriptions thing. But
yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh yes. And remember, I also thought another thing I thought was funny was that Prince Andrew said that he doesn't sweat.
Oh yeah.
He actually has a condition where he doesn't sweat.
I mean, come on. What the fuck? But it's like, I guess you can just say anything and it's up to you to prove it, you know, like it's so weird. It is so weird.
Buckingham Palace will back you up.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
that was my sweat clone.
Yeah. I don't sweat and I go to some Pizza Hut equivalent in Britain with my daughter. But then
they were like a Club Tramp in London. I'm like, I feel like that must be a reference that makes sense to someone in London. I don't know. Club Tramp means nothing to us, but it's probably like, you know, the Viper Room of London or something like that.
But and he said Prince Andrew said he didn't remember meeting Virginia or didn't remember ever like. Yeah. And he's like,
I was hanging out with my daughter that night. Like, I'm like another teenage girl. One of them. I don't know, her or my daughter. One or the other.
Right. I get them mixed up. But yeah, the fact that there's like a picture of them all together. It's great.
Jeffrey took the photo. That's also creepy. He's like, is in a disposable camera. You remember disposable cameras from back then? Like 2000s yes. Disposable cameras. Did that all happen? Wait, when did that happen? The 90s or the early 2000s? I don't even know what was happening. Like,
I think early 2000s.
She was 17. Yeah. Yeah. Cause imagine if this was happening when there was like Instagram, like how much of a trail there would have been. There would have been way more trails of things.
But even the fact that there wasn't social media, the fact that they were, or Instagram, there wasn't, they were still willing to be in a picture. You know what I mean? They weren't like, oh no, don't get me. You know, I don't want any evidence of this. Just the audacity of like, oh, like, I don't even care. Like, take a picture.
Who cares?
And you're Prince Andrew and you're just like posing with this chick. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Or stealing that girl's pictures of her sisters that she was.
Do you think this is part of a conspiracy about why Harry and Meghan left the royal family? Do you think that could be part of it? They just wanted to distance themselves from Andrew. They knew too much.
Dish. What do you know?
I'm just throwing out anything. Just please retweet this comment. And then, yeah, no, I don't know if that's, I have nothing to back that up, but it could just be like, there's a lot of reasons you'd want to leave the royal family, but I think that would be.
I think overt racism was.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Overt racism was. You know.
I get the feeling that's kind of what it was. Is that like there's probably.
I will say the one thing I noticed is like, yeah.
Is what?
Oh, no, it's just that at least the one thing I know is like all the women in this are mostly white. Is that true or am I wrong about that? A lot of blonde women, a lot of Eastern European women. I'm just like, they seem to have spared more women of color, but it's not clear. I mean, in Florida, I imagine that it is somewhat diverse, but I don't know about West Palm Beach, but it did seem like he had a type based on everyone who sort of came and, I mean, just like, you know, it just was like white women. So,
yeah, I mean, these are the survivors we're hearing from. I mean, there was apparently 400 plus. So I would imagine he was an equal opportunist when it came to whatever, you know, unfortunately. But I feel, okay, here's my theory, guys, and you're going to tell me if I'm wrong or right. I think the reason that this doc doesn't go into a lot of the early years, the whys and how did this happen, I think they wanted to give these victims a chance to speak. They wanted to give more time to the victims to get their story out and stuff like that.
Right. But here's my, I mean, are they not, is there some sort of like episode? Like they couldn't have just had another episode that went into that?
Yeah. Well, there's that. They could have had five
but
episodes.
But I appreciate, I agree. I think that was, they wanted to focus more on that than like glorify this guy, but I think that's true.
Yeah.
That's
true. I think that's, instead of being like, let's go back to the Bronx, 1963.
Right.
Know, okay. A young Jeffrey Epstein loves playing cards and shooting craps on the streets of New York.
We do that with serial killers, though. We totally try to like psychoanalyze serial killers and stuff, though. So it wouldn't be out of the realm of like, it's not like pearl clutching Netflix or something. Like, there's so much true crime shit that gets like 12 episodes, you know, so it doesn't make sense. I'm guessing with the people they couldn't get on camera, that limits like what they can do, right? Like they can't get Ghislaine Maxwell on camera. And Joe Berlinger has a long history of doing documentaries as well. I'm sure there's just legal blocks along the way.
Right.
And also, like, I guess this is based on the research that was done for the book of the same name, right?
Yeah.
James Patterson wrote a book called Filthy Rich about Epstein. And I guess that came out 2016. So I remember, yeah.
He was a neighbor, right? Like he lived, didn't he say he was like, he lived in Palm Beach with him?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was a neighbor.
Right.
Yeah, he was nearby and probably being like, what the fuck is going on over at the Epstein mansion? What about that mansion in Ohio with Les Wexler and the guy?
Wexler.
The guy that's brought us whatever.
The Limited.
The Limited. Yeah.
Abercrombie and Fitch.
And Fitch and Bath and Beyond. What is it?
Bed, Bath and Beyond?
Yeah.
Is he part of that too?
I guess that's his too, yeah.
Oh, man. And that guy's still alive. That's the other part that is surprising. He's just like, well, I was really hoodwinked by this this person at the end. He's like, well,
you guys buy that?
No.
No. Something's... So well, that's where the documentary did not get like into the nitty-gritty of like how did like that millions of billions of dollars... like got managed by Epstein into his own pockets, like all that shit.
People always know the people in the situation. They know, they see it. He saw it. He knew it. You know what I mean? But of course, none of them are going to, they all just want to claim innocence. And I love that you used the term hoodwinked. That was perfect. Like, yeah, they're all going to act a little bit like a victim. Like, oh, he got me too.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Apparently, from what I've read, is that he signed over power of fucking attorney to Epstein.
Wexler did? Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Power of attorney, dude. This is a billionaire capitalist CEO. And he's like, you know what? You should have power of attorney.
Okay, maybe he was hoodwinked.
Well, that's where they were like throwing in that thing of like, right. Were you in a sexual relationship with him? And he's just like,
what?
No, I'm like a straight pedophile is basically what he said.
Me? Wouldn't. But I guess there's tales of him bragging to people in certain circles that he's like, yeah, I'm fucking the dude. And he's like, let me have stuff. So who knows? But you never know. But I mean, that fucking place, though, the place in Ohio is just like, what? I didn't know they had homes like that in Ohio.
Wait, was the one in Ohio or the one in New Mexico that had like the enormous cross? Maybe that was New Mexico.
That was New Mexico.
Okay.
And they always have shitty taste in art, these people. Okay. You know, it's always.
And they always pay $6,000 for a $12,000 painting.
Yeah, that's how they get rich, I guess, is they just never pay full price for anything. I suspect. And then,
yeah, I wonder how much that cross costs.
I mean, $20,000, but he paid $100 for it. Probably. Right. And $100 cash, and I'll give you a ride on Lolita Express at some point, right. Which is like one of my, not my favorites, but it is funny. Like some of the terms that came out of this, like Orgy Island, you know, and the fact that they called the plane the Lolita Express is like, I guess the news probably did that.
Right.
I can't imagine he had that emblazoned on his wing.
Right.
They're like, Exhibit A, your plane. It's called.
Right. But you almost, the like, how brazen they were, you almost wouldn't be surprised.
I know. Yeah. I mean, that is incredibly brazen. The place in New Mexico is called the Zorro Ranch, as I'm looking at my notes. But it's funny to me that Galen Maxwell, hey, did you ever read anything about her dad?
No, I didn't read about it, just what the documentary talked about. But
yeah, I mean, that's funny. You should look into it. It seems bizarre, like crazy. Okay. Like he was basically running some sort of schemes. He was like a high powered journalist editor type and then got caught up in some money schemes and then fell off a boat. You know,
oh my gosh.
Just people do just fell off a boat. But so after in 2019, when this story broke in August of 2019, Galen Maxwell went in hiding. She has not been seen since, except for a paparazzi shot of her at an In-N-Out Burger in L.A.
Right. So that places her on the West Coast. But I remember there being even conspiracies when that In-N-Out Burger photo came out. People were like trying to dissect like which In-N-Out it was. Figure out if she was photoshopped. People thought she was photoshopped into it, all sorts of stuff. This is just what I remember from Twitter back at that time that happened.
That cracks me up when she's like, you know, like I really shouldn't be going out considering the whole pedophile thing, but man, I need me a double double.
All right. You
know? Like that just cracks me up. People are so weird. And then so we go through. Basically, his early years, he lies. He's a teacher. He lies about it. Gets into finance. Lies about that. Dates a dude's daughter. Gets fired. Meets Les Wexler. Somehow gets him to sign power of attorney. And then basically has this sexual pyramid scheme for quite a long time. Let's call it 10 years. Basically, like a decade. And then the Palm Beach cops get involved. Because they're being notified, hey, there's these girls are going around. And then that one detective dude that's since passed away. There's always the one good detective guy that seems to die too early, you know?
Right. Is that Fiston or no?
Mike? No, he's a private eye. Fiston's like a private eye. It was a rep, RE something.
Yeah, the guy that did the tapes. Yeah. The guy that had the cassette tapes.
Did the interviews, yeah.
And he was doing the interviews. Okay. Yeah. And then
he died.
He died. Yeah. What blew my mind, though, is when that fucking remember, he was like, I brought my boss in. The boss is like, you basically implicated yourself as a prostitute and you're running a prostitution ring for that little girl. It's so crazy. They went after. Yes. It just blows my mind that shit happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And just making anyone who's a victim feel like it's their fault and not. Understanding.
So we get to, you know, episode two shows us his life coming up, you know, lying, getting into college, and then he befriends Les Wexler, and apparently the guy just gives him his entire estate and wealth for some reason. And then for like 10 years he's running this sexual Ponzi scheme, and then finally people call some cops and the cops get involved. And we see our dude that's doing the tapes, that's running the tapes and getting confessions from these girls. And he also goes to his superior, and the superior's like, Oh, it looks like you just committed to a felony and you're a prostitute and now you're going to go to jail. It's like what is happening? That is so weird to me that they would do that.
Right. Everything about it's weird.
That is true. That is true. It does. I mean, it's like you were saying, like, though, they're just trying to intimidate these girls, you know, and all the girls were saying, like, they were like heavily cross-examined and people are like asking them questions and stuff. And it's insane that, you know, they had this like secret meeting and it was all fine. And then, like you said, he got 12 hours to leave his jail cell, you know, whenever he wanted. But so finally, some people get some balls and they're like, listen, you can't have this deal. The deal that you signed is illegal. So we're actually going to prosecute you and we're going to take you to trial. And they do so. And we all know now famously what happens is that he gets moved to this like weird jail cell in New York City that apparently is run by the like Keystone Cops, I guess. Like what is happening here?
Right.
What do you guys think about that? What do you think happened?
They did not even get into this one theory about his cellmate. Do you know about that theory?
No.
No, tell me.
It's not in the documentary. July 23rd, he's been put in a cell with another person. First of all, that seems weird. Usually pedophiles are put in solitary. Tartaglione is the guy's name. He's a cop who like is in jail for murdering four people in a drug deal. And he's trying to get footage that shows that he stopped Jeffrey Epstein from killing himself on July 23rd. Epstein's telling his lawyers, oh, my cellmate tried to fuck me up on the 23rd. So there's no footage that exists because they try to subpoena the footage and then they're claiming that the footage was filming the right time on the wrong floor and it didn't have the actual footage of what was happening outside the cell. So there is a whole thing around this dude where he's trying to like say that he saved Epstein the first time. And a lot of people think he actually is the one that whacked him. So it's Tartaglione, it's a whole thing. You can go down a bunch of Google holes with that one. But that's not even in this. Like they really skirt around a lot of the theories on this one.
And didn't they say that also the guards were like subs or something? Like they were like not guards normally work in there, and that the like video cameras were randomly off. And I mean,
how convenient. And
then, right. And then his brother did the like his own autopsy or had the death investigated himself and saw that there was like no way that break would be from suicide.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just the way it was kind of broke. It was like, you just don't have that. That's a strangulation kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, it's just insane that this guy was given this much latitude and then just kind of left alone without anything. I mean, it's in, I mean, I don't know how I think he was killed. I mean, if you look at the jail cell, there is so much clothing. There's so many sheets and clothing in his jail cell that it's like, do they give you that much clothing? I don't even have that many sheets.
Right?
I mean, it's insane. And it sucks that he died without having to face the victims and a court and a long fucking sentence, you know?
Right. And like, that's like the final insult to them. They don't even, you know, he doesn't have to face them. And and also the fact that he transferred his will, his will into a trust right before he died.
I forgot about that part. That's right. He put it in some weird offshore Canary Island trust thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus Christ, like to go to your grave being that big of a fucking asshole is insane to me.
There is one thing I did read that there is a compensation fund that I think the Virgin Islands courts have allowed his estate to go into. So there is a chance that some of the people that some of his victims can try to get compensated. So that's good.
That is good. Well, thank God. Well, thank you guys for doing this. Haley, thanks so much for being a part of this. And
yes, my pleasure.
joining us. Why don't you tell people where they can find you on the inter-social webs?
Yes. All right. My Instagram handle is just my name, Haley Hoffmeister. And my Twitter is, my name is Haley. And I'm usually doing stand-up in Los Angeles, but right now I'm doing it in my bed. So, you know, I'll try to post that on the internet when I'm not posting about Black Lives Matter.
Right on.
Okay. Eventually. Yeah.
So, and hopefully there won't be too many more docs like this coming out, but you know, yep. You can hope, you can pray. But thank you so much, Haley, for being a part of this, George. Thank you. Absolutely. Nick, our intern. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. And fuck this guy.
Yeah. Fuck this guy. Absolutely.
All right. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com.
We've been recapping reality since 2015.
Our theme song was written by David Siegel, and our show was engineered by Will Scovel.
For as little as $1 a month, you can donate to this show through our Patreon page, patreon.com/supdocpodcast.
If you want to help us out in other ways, please share the show with friends. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Find out more about Paco and George's comedy gigs on the About Us page on our website.
SupDoc is by doc fans for doc fans. So if you want to advertise with SupDoc, got a film you want to recommend, or any opinions, please hit us up.
Email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.